Hello, brethren. I hope you're all having a good Sabbath. It's nice to be able to talk to you even by recording. Well, we've passed the Feast of Pentecost and have heard many good messages lately about the Holy Spirit. We know that through repentance and baptism and laying on of hands is how we receive the Holy Spirit. And our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, which God gives to us. Jesus told the disciples that the Holy Spirit dwells with you and it shall be in you. It shall be in us. Jesus said that He and the Father would come and make their abode with us. And He said that the Holy Spirit shall teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things I have said to you. There are many things the Holy Spirit does for us and in us and through us. It's involved in the renewing of our mind, as we've heard. The Holy Spirit is involved in our prayers, which we've heard lately. The Apostle Paul even describes it this way: I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And it's only with a lot of help from the Father and Christ through the Holy Spirit that we have a chance of really overcoming. And today I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit. But I want to focus on the future. Where is all of this leading? Because having the Holy Spirit is the proof in us, which reminds us of the promise for the future of eternal life as Spirit-born children of God.
It's good to be reminded of scriptures that we are all familiar with. I'd like to start by turning over to Romans chapter 8. So if you'll turn with me over to Romans chapter 8.
Which you probably anticipated I might be going there. Because there is a manifestation of the children of God going on right now already. It's beginning. We'll start in verse 14. We'll read, for starters, we'll start with verse 14 through 17. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So there is having the Spirit, and then there's being led by the Spirit. So we're led, we submit, we follow, we're involved in this process, but there is a goal, there is an outcome. Verse 15, where you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So this is a spirit of adoption. I read in a commentary, and they're talking about, this is like the adoption papers. They've been all written up, signed, and delivered, but they're not completed yet. So that's what this Holy Spirit is doing. It is a spirit of adoption. Verse 16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. So being glorified, that's an end result. We know that there is that full growth, that maturity. We're supposed to become more Christ-like. Well, eventually we will become like Christ.
Children
of God. Fully children. Matured. Go to verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. So there is an earnest expectation.
This is the Strong's Greek number 603.
APOKARADOKIA. APOKARADOKIA.
Meaning, in the sense of watching, intense anticipation, earnest expectation.
And that's where I got my title. My title is Earnest Expectations.
So this earnest here is like we know there, it's an intensity. It's a genuine.
It's an anticipation that we have.
Next, we'll skip down to verse 22 and 23.
For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain and tether together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also. So they and we groan, travailing in pain. Matthew Henry's commentary was reading how they were talking about this, and I had to quote this. It just brought it
more of a focus. It says, "These are not as the pangs of one dying, but as the throes of a woman in travail. Groans that are symptoms of life, not of death."
I thought, what a great way of putting it.
This process of becoming the children of God is a symptom of life. The travailing for the purpose of creating life. That's what we're going through. And the old man is put off, the new man is put on, and it's this life that's springing in us, springing forth in us. Continue reading, verse 23, "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." So, it's first fruits of the Spirit. Now, first fruits can indicate there's more to follow, in that, well, we have some, and we will have more to follow, but there's also, just like with the first fruits harvest, it's not all there is to the harvest. And neither is the fruit of the, or first fruits of the Spirit, all there is to the Spirit that we're going to have. Point number two, if you'll turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Are you with me? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, because this Holy Spirit, this first fruits of the Spirit, is also referred to as the earnest of the Spirit. You'll see that here in 2 Corinthians 5. And we'll read verses 1 through 5. Verse 1, "For we know," this is 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1, "for we know that our earthly house, if our earthly house of this tabernacle," us, our flesh and blood bodies that we're in, "were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring," for this we groan, earnestly desiring. Now this earnestly desiring is similar to that other earnest, in that it's a genuine, it's, you're desiring, you're anticipating, you're looking for this. So we're groaning, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. This will be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. Verse 4, "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that has wrought us for this selfsame thing is God." This is what God is working in us for this purpose right here. We're going to change from an earthly house to a heavenly house, meaning our bodies. And we'll talk a little bit more about that also. Verse 5, "For this selfsame thing is God, as of God, who also has given us the earnest of the Spirit." So this earnest of the Spirit in verse 5, which is what this Holy Spirit we have, is this earnest of the Spirit has an earnest groaning. And there's two different meanings for those two earnests. And for verse 2, this groaning is for our change, which is mentioned about in verse 1. A house of God, not made with hands, eternal. So this is truly earnest expectations. Remind me of Acts chapter 7, where Stephen is giving this long answer and he's describing all of the things that God was doing with the physical as a image of what the spiritual would be. Even quoting in Isaiah that the Most High dwells not in temples made with hands. Same thing here. Not made with hands, eternal. And then Stephen was still referring to the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, they picked up stones and stoned him. So this earnest in verse 5, where it talks about the earnest of the Spirit, two definitions. First, a dictionary definition of this type of earnest. Money paid in advance to bind a contract. And this English word earnest comes from the old French word, which is eres, which comes from a Latin word of ara or arhaba, which comes from, or goes to, I should say, goes to the Greek word of arhaban, which is from the Hebrew word arabon, which means to pledge. And even in Strong's, here's what Strong says about this word for earnest
of the Spirit.
Greek number 728.
Arhaban. Pronounced Ar-ha-an. They even say it's a Greek word of Hebrew origin, a pledge. In other words, part of the purchase money or property given in advance as the security for the rest. Earnest. So this Holy Spirit that we have, it's an earnest. It binds a contract that God has made. It's a paid in advance security for the rest. This is talking about this work of God that He is doing in us, and it starts with this earnest of the Spirit that God has given us. Or like it says in Philippians, God who has begun a good work in you shall finish it. We're familiar with 1 Corinthians 15. You can look at that later. There's many other places you can see this same understanding that we're familiar with. Like it says in 1 Corinthians 15, there is a natural body, there is a spiritual body.
As we born the image of the earthly,
we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. And at the last trump, we shall be changed. 2 Corinthians 6 talks about what agreement has the temple of God with idols, for you are the temple of the living God. We know that. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people, my sons and my daughters. So that's what we groan for. That's what we expect. It's secured by the Holy Spirit that God gave us. So in conclusion, the children of God are being manifested. They are being led by the Spirit of God as they walk in this life. And while we walk in the Spirit, as we're told, having this Holy Spirit in us, it is proof, living proof in us, that reminds us of something. That from the very beginning, God has sought sons and daughters, people to dwell in and walk in.
This is why He is making us into His image and giving us His divine nature.
We are a work in progress. This is so He can do just that. Make us sons and daughters. And therefore He gives us this Holy Spirit and uses His Holy Spirit so that this can happen. And that Holy Spirit in us, working with us, is an encouragement to us and a proof that reminds us that He which has begun a good work in us will complete it. This earnest in us gives us an earnest expectation for a future, an expectation of that adoption completed as we fully become Spirit-born children of God, eternal beings in the family of God. It truly is earnest expectations.